See, Don already ran off with the kids, so none of you are dismissed. You all stay. We're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians, starting with the 12th verse. If you want to turn with me there, if you brought your Bibles, if you don't, you can look up on the screen. But again, I want to encourage you, bring your own Bible. That way you can jot stuff down, underline things, put big question marks about the spot that stuff that I did wrong. Okay. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To those we are the smell of death, or to one we are the smell of death, to the other we're the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. We are beginning to commend ourselves again. Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to wonder what it is you'd have us to do, that you give us direction, that you show us how we can live each day. Lord, that you give us words of encouragement, that you give us words of discipline, and that you shower your love upon us. Lord, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit now to open up these scriptures to us, to give us an understanding which isn't just of the wisdom of man, but is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach, that I would speak your words in truth and in power, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that nothing that I say would be contrary to your will or purposes, but instead that each word might be according to those will and purposes. And Lord, anything I say which is not of you, Lord, might be not as it was not spoken. Might it not be heard, might it not be remembered. But might your word, your truth, go to the very heart of each person here. And might it not just go in and be heard and said and agreed to, but instead, Lord, might it be brought in to not just the heart and the mind, but that lived out in the hands and the feet and the mouths. Might we do your work. Might we preach your work. Might we live each day according to your will. Now, Father, be present here in our midst. Lead us. Be with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do you smell? What? Yeah, I use deodorant. With your nose, you smell with your nose. I knew somebody was going to actually go with the correct grammatical reading of that sentence instead of with the way that we use it as a colloquialism in today's society. I figured it'd be you, George. But we do use it as, you know, how do you smell? Well, I smell with my nose. You know, I got olfactory nerves in there, and I breathe in. That's not what we're talking about. How do you smell? It's colloquialism. Means, do you stink? Do you smell good? Do you smell bad? Paul here is talking at one point about Christians smelling. Some a fragrant offering, to other the aroma of death. Same guy, one group smells in one way, one group smells in another. Now, when I originally read this passage and was looking through it, the first picture that jumped into my mind was that of Jesus' triumphal procession into Jerusalem that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. And also his procession carrying the cross to Golgotha. Those are the two that immediately jumped to my mind. But that's probably not the word picture or the thoughts that jumped to the minds immediately to the people that Paul was writing to. See, Paul is writing to Greeks. The Corinthian church is a Greek church. It's in Greece. It's, again, remember, in one of the most licentious and sensual and sinful and rich cities in all the Roman Empire. And this is the community that he's writing to. Their first thought is not of Israel. Unlike Butch, who traveled to Israel and saw that, that wasn't their experience. Their experience was more of the Roman governance and the authority there. They'd seen Roman generals, and they'd seen, or at least heard of, the triumphant processions of conquering generals. Now, these were something special. I'm going to read a little bit about them from this one commentary, Letters to the Corinthians by William Barclay. And just... he thinks that the picture that he's putting out is that of the Roman triumphant general. Now, let me just read a couple of paragraphs from him. He says, "In his mind, the picture of a Roman triumph and of Christ as a universal conqueror, the highest honor which could be given a victorious Roman general, was a triumph. To attain it, he must satisfy certain conditions. He must have been the actual commander-in-chief in the field. The campaign must have been completely finished. The region pacified and the victorious troops brought home. 5,000 of the enemy at least must have fallen in one engagement. A positive extension of territory must have been gained, and not merely disaster retrieved or an attack repelled. And the victory must have been won over a foreign foe and not a civil war. And additionally, a triumph in the procession, the victorious general marched through the streets of Rome to the capital in the following order. First came the state officials and the Senate. Then came the trumpeters. Then they carried the spoils taken from the conquered land. For instance, when Titus conquered Jerusalem, the seven-branch candlestick, the golden tablet of the showbread, and the golden trumpets were carried through the streets of Rome. Then came pictures of the conquered land and models of conquered citadels and ships. There followed the white bull for the sacrifice which would be made. Then there walked the captive princes, leaders, and generals in chains, shortly to be flung into prison, and in all probability, almost immediately, to be executed. Then came lictors bearing their rods, followed by musicians with their lyres, and priests swinging their censers, with sweet-smelling incense burning in them. After that came the general himself. He stood in a chariot drawn by four horses. He was clad in a purple tunic, embroidered with gold palm leaves, and over it was a purple toga marked with golden stars. In his hand he held an ivory scepter with a Roman eagle at the top, and over his head a slave held the crown of Jupiter. After him rode his family, and finally came the army, wearing all their decorations and shouting, 'Triumph!' The cry of triumph. As the procession moved through the streets, all the decorated garland amid the cheering crowds, it made a tremendous day, which might happen only once in a lifetime." Now that's the picture that William Barclay is saying Paul was probably painting for the Corinthians. And, you know, I'm pretty much in agreement there. I think that's probably what's going on here, particularly when we read through here and we have this issue of the smell, the aroma of the offering. To one, it's life, and to the other, it smells of death. As the slaves, as the conquered prisoners are being led through this procession we have followed behind them the priests with the censures, and they're, and to those who are victory, that incense burning is victory. But to those who are captured prisoners and are probably going to be sentenced to death very shortly, it just means they're going to die. They're going to suffer. And the whole picture there is something which leads, it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that somebody might even see such a thing. And certainly, once in a career probably for any general to achieve this type of an honor. And yet we're told that, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. You see, the victory is there. Always. Now, the interesting thing is the first paragraph or so there is talking about the fact that Paul had gone to Macedonia and he's, you know, and there's a lot happening and people are coming to know the Lord, and but he's just not satisfied. He needs to move on. He needs to, because he hasn't found Titus and he's so anxious about what's happening back in Corinth. How are they responding to my letter? I mailed them. I sent that letter and I need to hear back. What's going on? Because remember, Paul was not gentle in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians. He dealt with some very difficult issues. And even here in the beginning of 2 Corinthians, he's referring back to some of those and dealing with some difficult things. But now he's saying, you know, I love you and I care about you so much that I needed to press forward to find Titus, my brother Titus. Why did he need to find Titus? Because Titus was coming from Corinth. And he's going to be able to say, what's happening there? And when he gets it, he paints his response with this victorious procession that the people in Corinth have well received this letter, that they've heard the message. And Paul is just painting this picture of the victory of Christ, the victory over the foreign enemy, the victory that is unsurpassed, and it's always continuous. He said, God always leads us in this. And that's the level of his joy over what's going on in Corinth. It's a pretty amazing picture that he writes there. But then he deals with the criticisms. See, there are some who are peddling the Word of God for profit, he says. Not that we have that problem today in the church. Guarantee you, I don't have the problem. But there are some who are out there preying upon Christians. Why? Because we do want to believe the best. We do believe in forgiveness. Some forget the part about being wise as serpents. They just remember the gentle as doves. But Paul brings up, you know, I'm not like these people who are running around trying to line their pockets. You know, I'm supporting myself. You're not supporting me. He's been working as a tent maker. He's, what money he has asked for, it's been for others and not himself. Unlike those who come with flashy letters, letters of introduction, which were quite common in that day, because Well, you just couldn't pick up the phone and call someone, hey, is this so-and-so for real? Do you know them? Somebody would write a letter. They would carry a letter. Sometimes they're forgeries. Sometimes, you know, people might have been well-behaved in one place, but they're not in another. Not that we've ever experienced that in this day and age around here either, have we? No, that person was great here. Then you talk to see what somebody went somewhere else, and you go, they did what? Okay. And this is what Paul's going to say. You know, I don't need letters or recommendation from you because you yourself are my letter of recommendation. And I'm not doing in this for money. I'm in this for God's glory. And you are the very incense of victory to me. Because God has written upon your hearts. He sealed you with His Holy Spirit. And when people see you, they see the work that I've done in Christ. And you are a tremendous testimony to the love of God and to the faithfulness of our Father. That's what he's telling the people in Corinth. People, Christ has written upon your hearts. Your lives are a testimony of my ministry. If I run around and trying to say, hey, this is, you know, write me a letter so I can tell people how great a pastor I am or whatnot. You know, we all know I'm not the best preacher. Okay? I'm okay with that. What does my heart good is that I know that when somebody has a problem, one of the first things they say is call Pastor Bruce. And, you know, because I am more a pastor, I come alongside. That's my gifting. Phyllis's niece died. It was a great honor to be called by her brother to come and minister to that family. They don't go into this church. But they weren't close with their own pastor, and they didn't know how their pastor would minister to their son-in-law and that family since their daughter didn't attend that church. In fact, hadn't been attending church for a while. But I went and ministered. The fact that you think that of me is my letter. This is what Paul is talking about here. This is the depth of it. I tell you, people, that hits me deep. But each of us has Christ written on our heart who've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And we are a testimony to others who see us. We are a testimony of what God's doing in our life. Now, we can either be a good testimony or a bad testimony. Some of the times I'm not such a good testimony, I'll admit it. But I try to be a better testimony each day. That's what I work towards. Not because I need to work for it for my salvation. My salvation, the work is done for that on the cross. But so that others can see my life and be drawn to Christ as opposed to being repelled by Christ. Because people, when they see you, they see the ones who led you to Christ, and they see Christ. We are the ones whom those who don't know Christ use to decide who Christ is and how good He is. whether or not he's worthwhile. David's testimony today of his ministry with Timber Bay. His testimony about Wednesday, his wife, and the girl who came up and said, "I have never felt love before." People, this is what we need to do and be. How do you smell? Are you the fragrant offering to those who are being saved? Are you a stench to those who are turning away from God? See, we can be a stench by pushing people away, but we can also be a stench because they've chosen to walk away. They've chosen to reject Christ. They're going to, anything that smells of Christ to them is bad. But we can also be a stench to those who don't know God, who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, by not being God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Now, does that mean that we wink at sin? Does that mean that we say it's okay? Absolutely not. That's why Paul was so concerned about the letter that he wrote to Corinth. Because he called them on that sin, didn't he? In a loving way. He said, "You can't do this, people. You have to follow God. You don't follow the wisdom of man. You don't do what you think is right in your own heart. You do what's right according to the Scriptures. Because God has written it down for us so that we don't have to guess." And that's what he called them back to. And then to hear them say, hear the report back that, the Corinth church is doing it. They're not perfect yet by a long shot. But they're working. They're doing what they can. They're repenting of their sins and turning away from the sin. Repent is turn away from the sin and turn towards Christ, turn towards God. That's what they're doing. And that's how they're the letter. Now, Paul's not trying to pat himself on the back, and neither am I. What he's talking about here is he's got confidence. Not because of his own competence, but because the Holy Spirit is competent, because God is competent. I get up here and preach, even though I'm not the best preacher, and you know what? I'm perfectly comfortable and confident in it. Why? Because I got the Holy Spirit working through me. And even in the worst sermons I've ever preached, and trust me, I've done some real stinkers. Hopefully this isn't one. But God has still used my words to touch people. And I've been totally amazed. I've been just, you got to be kidding me. God touched you through that mess? Okay, praise be to God. We only know it can be because of God. It's His competence. I'm confident because He's competent to work even through this frail, broken, imperfect vessel. You can be confident because God is competent to work through you. You can be a good letter, a good testimony to Christ. You can be. Not because you're so great, but because God is so good. We can be confident in the competence of the Holy Spirit. God is competent. Paul then talks about how he's come not with the letter of the law, for the letter brings death, but with the Spirit that gives life. Now, we're going to develop that more next week. But I wanted to include that today because it's the Holy Spirit that's writing on our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing this in our lives. That makes us that fragrant offering so that we might smell good to those others. Paul develops this more, I think, and comes at it from a little bit different direction in Romans chapter 12, where he talks about our lives being living sacrifices for God. And a sacrifice goes on the altar and is a pleasing aroma to God. Our lives are to be pleasing aromas, are to be fragrant offerings. Because the Holy Spirit is written on our hearts. Because it's the competence of God working in us and through us to lead others to Christ. To testify to the goodness of God's mercy and grace. This is Paul's testimony here. It could similarly be mine, and it certainly can be yours. Because as you impact others for Christ, the Holy Spirit writes upon their hearts, and they become a letter about you to God's glory. So, this morning, let's remember that we represent Christ to those who don't know Christ. And we can either be that fragrant offering that leads them closer, or that stench that pushes them away. And then we don't have to trust in our own strengths and our own competences. But instead, we can be confident in the competence of God and the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you people, but if I tried to do this in my strength, it'd be a train wreck. So let's lean on God. And let's live lives that are testimonies to Him so that we can be fragrant. And draw people to our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you and praise you because you indeed are the ever-loving Father. You indeed are the Lamb who went to the cross. You indeed are the Spirit which indwells our heart and shows us what is right and what is wrong, and leads us according to your will. Lord, Father, we thank you that you do right with your Holy Spirit upon our hearts. Lord, make us testimonies that are fragrant to those around us that will draw people to you who don't know you. So that they might know you. Lord, we thank you that you will do this through us. And we don't need to do this in ourselves. But through your anointing and your infilling and your Holy Spirit, your strength, all things are possible. Even this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.